Tadir muhustat pada karna pura. Guna badanena vijimbhamanaya. Bhaktya hya sangha sarasatyanatmani. Syanira gune brahmani chanja sarati. The devotee should gradually increase the culture of devotional service by constant hearing of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ears of devotees. By rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities, one can easily be fixed in transcendence in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This verse is especially mentioned to substantiate the devotional process of hearing the subject matter. A devotee does not like to hear anything other than subjects dealing with spiritual activities or the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can increase our propensity for devotional service by hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from realized souls. The more we hear from realized souls, the more we make advancement in our devotional life. The more we advance in devotional life, the more we become detached from the material world. The more we become detached from the material world, as advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more we increase in attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee who actually wants to make progress in devotional service and go back home, back to Godhead, must lose interest in sense enjoyment and associating with persons who are after money and sense gratification. This is the advice of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajano Mukhasya Param Param Jigamasura Bhavatsagarasya Sandarshanam Vishayanam Atayoshitam Cha Hahantahandavishabhakshanathonhyasadhu. The word Brahmani, used in this verse, is commented upon by the impersonalists or professional reciters of Bhagavatam who are mainly advocates of the caste system by demoniac birthright. They say that Brahmani means the impersonal Brahman. But they cannot conclude this with reference to the concept of the word bhaktya and guna bidhanena. According to the impersonalists, there are no transcendental qualities in the impersonal Brahman. Therefore, we should understand that Brahmani means in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as admitted by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, wherever the word Brahma is used, it must refer to Krishna, not to the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti shabdyate. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan can all be taken in total as Brahman. But when there is reference to the word bhakti, or remembrance of the transcendental qualities, this indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not the impersonal Brahman. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, entitled Prithu Maharaj's Meeting with the Kumaras, Text 25. Krishna, who is the source of everything that exists, is the witness of everything that takes place at all times in all places. Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would often say, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that he is pleased to see you. He is always seeing you and me. The perfection of our life is when Krishna is pleased with what he sees. Srinvatam sukatha Krishna punja sravana kirti. Krishna is very pleased when he sees the devotees gaining great inspiration and satisfaction, hearing of his transcendental name, form, pastimes, and qualities, hearing about the activities of those devotees who serve him with pure unalloyed devotion. Today people are very interested in trying to make themselves beautiful. The fashion industry is an industry in which people spend billions upon billions of their hard-earned rupees, dollars, pounds every year to try to make themselves the attractive object to others. But a devotee understands that if somehow or other I can put on the ornaments and accept the particular fashion that gives Krishna pleasure, that will attract Krishna, that is the perfection of my purpose of life. When a devotee's ears are ornamented with the ornamental decorations of hearing the pastimes and names of Krishna, Krishna is very pleased to see. Thus, Srila Prabhupada explains in this wonderful purport that as we make progress in devotional service, a devotee does not like to hear about anything except Krishna and those subjects regarding devotional service to Krishna. This is one of the methods by which we can evaluate how we're making spiritual advancement. How much do we still have that propensity to hear about the mundane subjects of this world? When Lord Chaitanya went to Kumarhata, he was at the house of Srivas Thakur. And Shivananda Sen and Vasudev Dutt came to greet him. Vasudev Dutt fell at the Lord's lotus feet, offering his obeisances. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked him up, embraced him, bathed him with tears. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he loved Vasudev Dutt so much. Why? Because Vasudev Dutt's only business in life was to chant the names of the Lord, to hear the glories of the Lord, and to sacrifice everything he was and had to show compassion to others. Because Vasudev Dutt had this realization, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acclaimed at that house of Srivas at that time that I am Vasudev Dutt's property. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Vasudev Dutt had no inclination to hear about anything of this world. He was only looking for Krishna, always looking for good qualities in others, never criticized, never found faults in others. Rupa Goswami tells that this is the symptom of an advanced devotee. Does not have the tendency to find faults with others. Of course, we learn from the acharyas that sometimes for preaching purposes, for the purpose of protecting devotees or dispelling illusion, we must make statements, but never out of envy. And even if we have to do that, we don't find pleasure in it. It may just be an unpleasant necessity. But a devotee has no inclination to criticize or find fault in anyone. Whereas materialistic persons, that is their life and soul. Recently, I was with some very, very high society people. And two of them went to a very, very high social event. They left a satsang where there was Harikatha and Kirtan to go there. And one of them called and said, I'm suffering here, it's miserable. But because I'm with my friend, I have to do it. Then as soon as it was over, he rushed back to where the satsang was. He said, these big people. And by the way, they're big people of Bombay and India. These big, big people, famous people. They just love to eat and just talk about criticisms of other people. This is what this person did, and that's what that person did. And this person's a... Did you hear about that? Well, I heard about this. Just speaking gossip. Till 2-3 in the morning, they just eat and talk gossip. He said, I used to like that kind of stuff. That used to be my greatest pleasure in life, just to be with these big people and gossip about other people. But now that I've tasted hearing about Krishna and hearing about Krishna's devotees, this is a terrible, terrible pain to hear these things. This is transformation. Srimad Bhagavatam describes that crows are very fond of going on pilgrimage to the places where garbage and sewage is dumped. But swans, you'll never see a swan in a sewage dump. They have no inclination. They prefer to be in clear lakes, where there is lilies and lotus flowers, where they can drink nectar. To the crow, stool juice is nectar. To the swan, the Rajhamsa, for him, that nectar within the lotus is his aspiration. So by the association of a Vaishnav, crows can become swans. But if we are not very careful, if we make aparads, if we are inattentive in our sadhana, even if we become a swan, our feathers turn black. And again we become crow. You become what you associate with. Do you ever see swans and crows talking together? They have nothing to do with each other, because they have different aspiration. So Bhagavatam describes that those who are interested in hearing and talking about the mundane affairs of this world, they are compared to crows. And those who are eager to hear and chant the names, glories, pastimes, qualities, the abode and the devotees of the Lord, they are swan-like. They are hamsas. If we associate with such swan-like people and hear from them, then we take on those qualities. That is the law of nature. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing here how important it is that we hear from realized souls who really have a taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. It is essential. People in this world are so inclined to envy one another. Even friends can potentially become enemies due to this unwanted black quality of envy. And actually, as we discussed yesterday, oftentimes people, they consider it a very great accomplishment if other people envy them. What kind of a mentality is that? Envy is a type of hatred. I remember when I was young, I was a little confused. This very famous movie actress was on television. This is before I was a devotee. I was a little boy. And this movie actress was saying how the greatest thrill of joy she feels in her heart is when other people are envious of her. When somebody's envious, they want to take your position, they want to take whatever you have, they want to usurp. But that's considered flattery. It's considered a materialistic glorification when people envy you. But envy is not a sign of love or affection. It's the basest quality of the mind and the senses. So great devotees, they don't want anyone to envy them. They want to serve everyone in such a way that people will bless them. What kind of a blessing can come out of your heart if you envy someone? I bless you that you will die. That's what's in your heart. Although in your mind you're saying, have a good day. You're speaking these things. I bless you, you lose everything. I bless you, I get your car, I get your jewelry, I get your beauty, I get your knowledge, I get your fame. But real life is when people receive actually heartfelt appreciation and good wishes. And that rarely comes to people who are arrogant. So therefore, devotees, they understand that this prajalpa is so very, very deeply rooted in every condition soul's heart. Srila Prabhupada explains the whole scientific process of what takes place when you speak prajalpa. say, when you're speaking idle gossip about mundane affairs, or finding faults with other living beings, what's actually happening is that sound vibration is from internally. As it's coming out of your mouth, it's depleting you of your propensity for Krishna consciousness. It's just like a horrible withdrawal of the spiritual assets that you have gained through so much hard labor in devotional service for so many years. We're depleting ourselves every time we criticize others. We're depleting ourselves of our spiritual acquisitions, qualities, and the mercy of the Lord every time we speak and hear about mundane subject matters. So devotees are very careful. They want to associate with swan-like people because in that association, it is very, very natural to hear and chant about Krishna. But if you're associating with crows, soon you'll hear it coming out of your mouth. Ah, ah, ah. The vocabulary of the crows. Just like that garden behind our temple. At one time it was a garbage dump. And so many crows used to be there. Do you remember? They were just making their and passing stool all over the place. And now there's kadamba trees. And there's palm trees. So many nice auspicious trees. By the grace of Maitali Priya Devi, Srinathji Prabhu's noble wife, she actually designed and created that beautiful garden by her own devotion for the pleasure of Radha Gopinath and the devotees. And now we don't see that many crows coming around anymore because it's such a nice place. The crows think that this Maitali Priya just ruined everything. But the devotees are bowing down, thinking, thank you, very nice, very nice. So we should be very, very thoughtful. Krishna is pleased when we take pleasure in hearing and chanting his glories. Yegatamam prapadyante. As we develop that taste and eagerness to hear about Krishna and sing about Krishna, Krishna reveals himself to us within our hearts. And as we pursue taking pleasure in hearing about mundane gossip subject matters, Krishna withdraws his mercy. He withdraws his presence from our life. So sometimes devotees will look through the newspapers for their occupational purposes, if they're businessmen or something. Or sometimes for preaching purposes, just to know what's going on. But there's no pleasure in that. Devotees are not waiting, just waiting for the newspaper to come. They just, all right, let me see. If you don't have to do it, don't even do it, because ultimately it's a waste of time. You don't get purified. Thank you, Prabhu. It's just a distraction. But if our particular occupation or service requires that, then we will do it as an austerity. But beware if you start taking pleasure in the nectar of the newspapers. That means you're really becoming a crow. You should understand, this is an emergency. I'm being attacked. And you should run as fast as you can to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Or run to the bookshelf to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada explains that if you have jaundice, sugar candy tastes bitter because of the disease. But if you keep drinking that sugarcane juice, it purifies your disease, and then you can actually taste the sweetness. So we have this taste for the cinemas and the televisions and the newspapers and the various socialite magazines. But it just perpetuates the disease of material attachment. But if we concentrate our energies on chanting the holy names and hearing the glories of the Lord, we become purified. Then our natural love for Krishna awakens. The only reason we're attracted to mundane subjects is because we really don't love Krishna. We can talk about loving Krishna, and we can act like we love Krishna, but be honest. If you really love Krishna, you will be so eager to hear and chant about Krishna, to glorify Krishna. You simply will not have any taste. There will be no charm for mundane subject matters. And here Srila Prabhupada is explaining from the translation and purport how, in order to actually attract Lord Krishna, to ornament our ears with the decoration of an inclination to hear and chant his glories, we must purify ourselves simultaneously by rendering devotional service and transcending material qualities. Shushu shro shadadanasya basudeva katavichi syan mahatsevaya vipra pundya tiratana sevana. Srimad Bhagavatam describes, first of all, that if you have the taste for hearing about Krishna, if you're eager to take satisfaction hearing about Krishna, then Krishna from within the heart cleanses all the anartas, personally takes responsibility to carry you through all obstacles, and establishes his own presence within your heart. But how to gain that affinity to hear about Krishna? By service. By rendering service to great souls. Krishna is pleased by that attitude of servant of the servant of the servant. And what does he do? He reciprocates by actually awakening your love. Awakening your desire to hear more and more and more, to speak more and more and more, to remember him always. That comes by his grace. Naturally, when one begins to develop a real attachment to Krishna, one becomes detached from material sense enjoyment. Herein, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Lord Chaitanya, Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajanomukasya. A devotee who actually wants to make progress in devotional service and go back home, Srila Prabhupada says, must lose interest in sense enjoyment and associating with persons who are after money and sense gratification. Now, if a person is after money to use for Krishna, that is very good. But if a person is after money for sense gratification, by associating with such persons, scientifically, it is described how we lose our interest in hearing and chanting and serving the Lord. We were discussing Lord Chaitanya's visit to Kumarahatta, where he's talking about Vasudev Dutt. Because of Vasudev Dutt's exclusive devotional spirit, Lord Chaitanya said, "I am Vasudev Dutt's property." Because of Vasudev Dutt's compassion to other living beings, the Lord said, "Anywhere Vasudev Dutt chooses to sell me, I am sold. This I will say again and again and again. It is the truth. Wherever he sells me, I am sold. I am Vasudev Dutt's man." When the devotees heard Lord Chaitanya praising Vasudev Dutt, they were in great, great joy. Lord Chaitanya then turned to Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur and his brother, Ramai Pandit, they both offered obeisances to the Lord. And he picked them up and embraced them. Literally, Lord Chaitanya sprinkled their bodies with the tears of his love for them. There is no greater perfection than that. Srivas Thakur, his brother, and his family members, all day long, they just would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and chant the holy name. They simply had no other interest. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from Srivas Thakur, "You're just in your house all day hearing and speaking Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting Krishna's holy names. Why don't you go out and make a living for your family?" Srivas Thakur replied, "In my heart, I have no propensity to go anywhere. This I tell you the truth." Lord Chaitanya said, "If you're not going anywhere, then how will you provide for your family? You have a very, very big family. How will you feed them?" Srivas Thakur smiled and replied, "Whatever is my destiny, that will be. I have no fears." Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, if you're not willing to go out anywhere, then you should take sannyas." Srivas Thakur said, "I have no power to take sannyas." Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, if you're not going to go out and take, if you're not going to go out and work, and you're not going to take sannyas, you're a Brahmin. At least you should go door to door and beg to bring some food home for your family for maintenance." Srivas Thakur replied, "I have no inclination to do that at all." The Lord said, "Srivas, it is your responsibility. If you don't go out to work, or at least beg and bring the necessities home for your big family, then please tell me, how will they eat? Explain. And Srivas Thakur explained. His answer was, and then he said, 1, 2, 3. That is my explanation. Lord Chaitanya, he said, what is this clapping your hands and saying 1, 2, 3? What does it mean? He responded, 1, 2, 3. The Lord said, please explain, what is this 1, 2, 3? Answer my question. Srivas Thakur replied, I make a solemn vow. If 3 times my family has to fast because there is a lack of food in my house, then I vow I will take a clay pot and tie it around my neck with a rope and drown myself in the river Ganga. When Lord Chaitanya heard that, he roared in ecstasy. Srivas! Have you forgotten? Because of your faith in Krishna, because of your faith in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, there will never be any shortage of anything in your house. Even if the goddess Lakshmi, goddess of fortune, becomes poverty stricken and she has to go door to door to beg alms, even in that circumstance, there will always be all arrangements made to provide for you and your family. Then the Lord said, have you forgotten, Srivas, what I spoke in Bhagavad Gita? Ananyas chintayanto maum yejana paryupashate tesham nityabayuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion and who are always meditating on my transcendental form, for them, I preserve whatever they have and I will carry what they lack. Srivas, you will never have any shortage. I will personally come to bring food on top of my head and bring it to feed your family because you are my exclusive devotee. I will always protect those who have exclusive faith and devotion to me. With my Sudarshan Chakra, I will protect the family of the Vaishnavas. And anyone who loves my servants, anyone who is dear to my devotees, I will personally protect them and provide for them. Anyone who accepts the position of the servant of the servant of my servants, I will personally bestow my mercy upon them. When the devotees heard Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heartfelt glorification of Srivas, they were struck with wonder. The ladies of the house, they chanted Jai Jai, and the men loudly chanted the Holy Name.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare. Then Lord Chaitanya turned to Srivas Thakur's brother, Ramai Pandit. And he said, Ramai, my instruction to you is you always serve Srivas, your elder brother. Because you are serving him so nicely, you are most dear to me. always be his servant. And you will be the most dear to me. Shiva's Pandit and his brothers, Shri Ram, Shri Pati, Shri Niti, it is explained they lived in the same house together and they never quarreled. Is this humanly possible? Shri Ram Pandit and Shri Vas Pandit and all their families, they never quarreled. Can you live with someone in an ashram or in a house and not quarrel with them year after year after year? Because they were so much in this spirit of servitude toward each other. They had such a taste for hearing and chanting the Srimad Bhagavatam and Nam Sankirtan together. They just had no time or inclination. There was nothing to quarrel about. There's a beautiful verse spoken by the Lord to the Prachetas, where he explains that as long as my devotees come together to hear and chant my glories, there will be no envy amongst them. But as soon as the subject changes, then we are vulnerable to the influence of the age of Kali. To seek out the association of those special souls who love to hear and chant the glories of the Lord and his devotees is the most certain path of spiritual perfection. Srila Prabhupada ends this purport by describing the word Brahmani, that impersonalist philosophers and many professional reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam, they actually put emphasis on this verse, that one attains the transcendental platform of merging in the impersonal Brahman. But Srila Prabhupada explains here that actually Brahman means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna said to Krishna, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. You are the Supreme Brahman. Brahmeti Paramatmeti. He is the source of Brahman. And Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that he is the very source and basis of Brahman. So whenever there is bhakti, eternal service to the Lord, then we should understand that Brahman means Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada says, whenever there is reference to the word bhakti or remembrance of the transcendental qualities of the Lord, this indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not the impersonal Brahman. There's not much to hear or talk about the impersonal Brahman. Even the impersonalists, when they want to talk about the impersonal Brahman, usually they discuss his pastimes when he comes to this world. But beyond this world, there's only Aham Brahmasmi. There can be all kinds of philosophical explanations of how the jiva merges into the Paramatma and becomes Brahman. but that does not move people's hearts. That doesn't awaken people's love, their soul. It just gives some relief to the mind. But Krishna's eternal transcendental form, pastimes, names and abode, they descend into this world just to attract our hearts, to hear and to sing about them. And through this process, our love awakens. Our natural, eternal, spiritual identity is revealed. That is the greatest of all perfections of life. So the example of Vasudev Dutt and Srivas Thakur, they literally obligated the Supreme Absolute Truth to become their servant. They conquered Krishna by their love, by their enthusiasm to hear and chant his glories and to humbly serve others in the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant. It's quite incredible. Some people meditate on the Virat Rupa, the universal form of the Lord. But here, the very original source of the Virat Rupa. He tells Vasudev Dutt, I am your property. I belong to you. If you want to sell me to someone, I'm theirs. I have no independence. I've given my independence up to be your slave. And he's telling Srivas Thakur, you're just sitting home hearing and chanting Bhagavatam and preaching the glories of Bhagavatam and Nam Sankirtan. Therefore, I will personally, not through my energies, I will in my heart personally carry the necessities of you, your family, your servants, and your maidservants on top of my head and deliver it to you. That is the degree that the Lord chooses to subordinate himself to the pure, exclusive devotion of his dear servants. Is there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, being in the finance market, many of the devotees, they come to me and they have this one practical problem. I myself find it very difficult to give them this solution. From last about 3 to 4 years in India, specifically those devotees who really wanted to surrender themselves completely and they wanted to accept a retired type of a life and give their life completely for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. But the biggest problem they face is from last 3-4 years in Indian economy, the interest rates are going down substantially. Before 4 years back, the interest rate was something like 12%, and now it has gone down to 6%. And all these finance ministries and all of them, they say that it will come up to the American standard within 2 years to come to 1 to 1.5%. So all those devotees, they come to me and they ask me that how can I retire? How can I give myself complete to Krishna when I am not be getting any return and they are not on that level of Srivas Thakur where they can give everything. Plus, they want to be very practical to maintain their family responsibility at the same time, give their whole time to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So in that circumstances, if they are not giving proper justice to their family, Krishna is not going to be pleased. On the other hand, death is coming nearby, they want to give that whole life, balanced life to Krishna consciousness, completely concentrating and hearing and chanting. But the external environment is not allowing them to do it. because the way the Indian economy is going on, it is expected that they have to work till the fag end of their life just to maintain their family.
Hmm.
In that circumstances, what a devotee has to do?
What do you think?
Maharaj, those devotees who come, I just tell them that you reduce the necessities of life to the best you can, give complete faith in Krishna, and just leave it on Krishna. Krishna will do the needful.
Correct. I could not have answered it any better myself. Is there any other questions?
I'll be very happy, Maharaj, you can expand something, because devotees really have this problem, very serious problem.
Haridas Thakur makes such nice painting, why should I come and try to put something else on it? We have to use our intelligence. We have to orchestrate our life in such a way that we're servant of the servant of the servant. If you're brahmachari, you don't have to work. You live in the ashram and somehow or other Krishna will give you some roti and dal and maybe some sweet rice also on Sundays. But if you have a family, you're a servant of the servant. You have to provide for them. But we should simplify our lives in such a way that we don't just become like asses, just foaming at the mouth. Prabhupada explains the kara, the ass. He works all day long, sometimes 12, 14, 18 hours days, just carrying big, big loads on their back. Sometimes their legs are wobbling, have you seen? Sometimes they're in so much anxiety, going like that. And they're foaming at the mouth. Now what do they get at the end of the day? They get a little grass. Haribo. That's all they get. They don't get a nice house or a car or nice clothes. They rarely even get a pair of shoes. They just get some grass. They're working so hard. So we should not become like asses. Human life is so rare. It's meant for self-realization. So we may have to do some hard work to provide. That is the duty of a grihastha. But we should orchestrate the simplicity of our life and our occupation in such a way that it is facilitating our progress toward the real purpose of life. It is not diverting our attention away from that purpose. Earning a living amongst the cultured, intelligent person should be for the purpose of facilitating becoming God conscious. But if it's prohibiting, if it's obstructing, if it's diverting our attention away from it, then according to the scriptures, we become an ass. Mudha. One time in Bombay, a person asked Prabhupada, why are you calling us mudhas? Prabhupada said, I'm not calling you mudha. Krishna's calling you mudha. What can I do? I have to tell you what Krishna says. So yes, people can work hard, but it should facilitate Krishna consciousness. That is intelligence. That is what human life is for. So as far as the details of how you invest and all of those things, you know better than me. I'm 52 years old. To this day, I have never put even one paisa in the financial market. So what am I going to say? Somehow or other, Krishna provides. Even when I was hitchhiking across the Middle East and living in Himalayas and very, I had nothing. I wasn't even a devotee then, but because I just wanted, I was just aspiring to know God. I didn't starve. Krishna provided everything. It just came without even asking. Everything just came. If you surrender to Krishna, He will protect what you have and provide what you lack. We have to have that faith. For ourselves, we don't have to work. Krishna will provide if we're just attached to hearing and chanting from Srimad Bhagavatam. But for our families, we may have to do that. But Srivas Thakur factually never had to, because he had such attachment to the holy name, everything was provided. But they were not living in palatial building, they were living simple. So according to our standard of living and so forth, we must provide. But it should be done with our goal always striving to attain. And that's why we require the association of devotees. Because the association of devotees helps us to keep our perspectives in proper balance. Otherwise, materialistic society, it's so consumer-oriented that success means more and more and more and more acquisition. People have so much they don't know what to do with it. And other people have nothing. Arivo, that's the way the world is. But a devotee, Vyavashayatmaka Budhir Ekeha Kudanandi, he's always fixed on the goal to be Krishna conscious, to give the family Krishna consciousness. He's not concerned with mundane prestige. He's not concerned with all kinds of artificial devices for sense gratification. He's concerned with bhakti, with pleasing Krishna, with service. So yes, you can work hard, but if you keep that goal in mind, then you are actually following in the footsteps of Srivas Thakur. You cannot imitate him. If on your stage you try to imitate him, you and your whole family will probably perish. But we understand the spirit of his resolved dedication, and we follow in the footsteps and adjust our life accordingly. Does that answer your question? Hari Bol. Yes, Prisha Banu Prabhu.
Becoming joyful, Maharaj, when other devotees are praised, seems to be such a very high standard, that because in our minds, in a very subtle way, there is this desire for one-upmanship, for competition, trying to prove oneself. So, though it is an ideal, it seems to be extremely difficult to feel joyful when somebody is praised. Apparently, superficially we may feel it, but somewhere deep within our heart there is some impact of some devotees being praised. So, how does one deal with this situation in a very practical way? I mean,
we must be honest with ourselves that we are what we are. When that seed of envy is watered and we feel it coming up again, we should understand it for what it is. Now, a materialistic person, when they hear someone praised and they feel a sense of envy or discomfort, they actually pursue that tendency. They nourish that tendency. They see that tendency is a very, very important flower within the garden of their heart. And they want to water it, nourish it, even protect it. But a devotee understands what it is. It is a deadly, poisonous weed. And if we nourish it, it will choke the bhakti lata bij. The plant of devotion that in its immature state is just barely starting to grow out of the soils of our heart by the mercy of Guru. We must carefully water it. But we don't want to water the weeds, because when we do, they're deadly. So when we see those weeds, we understand what it is. And we try to uproot it. We don't nourish it. We don't serve it. We pray to Krishna, please save me. Please remove these weeds. Please, my Lord. And we don't act upon it. We don't speak upon it. We intensely chant the holy names, take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam in our devotional activities with the motive of trying to uproot that weed once and for all. That is the difference between a sincere devotee and a person who is not very sincere. It's how we perceive the weeds in our heart and how we deal with them. Does that answer your question? Yes. Everyone, beware. Govinda Prabhu is about to speak.
Maharaj, you are mentioning about a devotee when he makes some mistakes, if he is deviating from the path of Krishna consciousness, then if we are authorized to correct him, but we already have the tendency of finding faults. Just like a few days back somebody was mentioning, sometime because of our background, it is not very easy to accommodate some faults which are not very serious. Because of our background, that we can't accommodate all faults. And at the same time, you know, we have to rectify them. But we also have this tendency of already finding faults. And when we see the faults and try to rectify, our heart becomes very hard. And it becomes very difficult to hear Krishna Katha properly. So, how to, Maharaj, balance this? Just like few days back, one devotee was mentioning that how people justify not following Ekadashi. If somebody accidentally breaks Ekadashi, we say, okay, next day you should fast. But somebody is justifying because we are, you know, we have young children, elderly men, and pregnant women, that they don't need to follow Ekadashi. So it was difficult for me to accommodate. They can follow still, they can cook nice prasad and eat. So can you resolve this conflict within my consciousness?
What do you think?
I'm not able to think, therefore I'm approaching you.
What is your opinion of what the answer should be?
Many opinions. There are many opinions are causing confusion. So,
what is your opinion?
In regards to Ekadashi or anything.
Your original question.
Yeah. I have a confusion, so Maharaj, I'll confuse my answer. My answer will confuse other devotees also.
Which other devotees?
You're confused.
We must be very careful to evaluate our motives. The nature of Maya is to bewilder and illusion us in such a way that we justify our envy in the name of service. If any devotee is blaspheming or criticizing another, and you say to them, "Why are you doing this?" Very rarely is anyone so honest that they will say, "Because I'm a blasphemer and I'm envious." Usually they'll say, "No, because this is the truth and this must be spoken, and I'm just trying to be a servant by speaking it." And they may actually believe that. But if it's not the truth, Krishna will not believe it. And it will have a very, very serious effect on your spiritual life. So we must be very careful. We're never the enjoyer, we're always the servant. Before speaking against anyone in that sense, we should very, very soberly and carefully contemplate, you know, what is my motives? And really, what is the effect that I'm trying to achieve in service to others? Am I trying to bring myself up and somebody else down? Or am I actually really trying to protect innocent people from being misled? We must be very honest. We must be very, very humble. And we must have a very serious service attitude to properly answer that question within our own minds. Krishna does not hear your justification. Krishna sees the attitude and the motive of your heart. And that's how he will respond. So we must be very careful. Because what happens if we unnecessarily criticize devotees who are dear to Krishna without really the proper service attitude and without really the proper purpose that's based on humility? Then what happens is, it's not that we immediately fall down, but our devotional activities become more and more superficial, artificial, external. Because Krishna is not reciprocating. Why will he reciprocate with someone who does not honor his beloved servants? Just like that story of Rupa Kaviraj, when he blasphemed Hemalata Thakurini, yes? Or was it Krishna Priya? He blasphemed Krishna Priya, the daughter of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, favorite disciple of Narottam Das Thakur. He actually felt that what he was saying was right. He's giving a Bhagavad Katha, and she's sitting there going, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare." She wasn't making sound, but she was moving her mouth. "Why are you doing like this?" And she explained, "I can't stop it. It's always chanting." And he, in front of everyone, he condemned her. And he continued giving his Bhagavad Kathas. We continue living on the banks of Sri Radha Kund for some time. Had all these followers. So it appeared externally to both himself and others that he was justified in what he said. But because the Lord was not pleased, his devotional service, even though he was saying the same things and appearing to have the same emotions as he said it, it was becoming externalized and superficialized. Until finally, it was just, he just fell in due course of time. So we must be very, very, very careful. Krishna sees the purpose in which we offer anything to him. If we criticize another, Krishna sees the purpose in which we are doing it. If we're very carefully, with contemplation and caution, really doing it, speaking it as a service to Guru's mission and to protect others, then Krishna will reward you for that. But if there's any envy, if there's any pride, if there is any mental insecurities that you're trying to compensate by speaking these words, Krishna doesn't just hear the words, he sees what is your intent. And there's nothing more dangerous than that. So we must be very careful. If we have the right intent and the right purpose, even if we make a mistake in what we say, Krishna will forgive us. There may be some reaction, but he will forgive us. But if we have the wrong intent and the wrong purpose, even if we may say the truth, Krishna will smash us. Our bhakti will become superficial, artificial, and ultimately we may fall. Does that answer your question? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Although we don't like to associate with the non-devotees, but because we are living in this world, sometimes we have to associate with the worldly people. Like, I will give you the real example, what I have in mind. In my building, my Prabhuji is the chairman, and the person who is in the managing committee, as soon as there is a meeting, his wife comes down and she talks prajalpa, nothing but prajalpa. And I want to really run away from there, but then I cannot do it every time. Because she sees me at home, and if I say I have to go somewhere, it doesn't look real. And I don't want to hear what she is talking, Maharaj. How do I escape the situation? Because it happens quite often.
Somehow or other, you should escape the situation. That is the proper use of your human intelligence, to escape such situations. Just out of courtesy and respect, obviously you must have some cordial real dealing, but you can be honest. What do you have to lose if you tell this prajalpa speaking lady that I don't like to hear prajalpa? If you want to come to my house, let's talk about Krishna. What would happen if you said that? Please give her the microphone. We want to hear her.
They are following Patanjali Yoga Sutra, Maharaj. They don't believe in the form of Krishna. They believe in Krishna, but they believe that he has no form. So she will not speak Krishna Katha with me. But tell her story she hears, but
So you just tell her, with all respect, you can be nice to her, but tell her that I like to hear about Krishna. I don't follow the Patanjali path. I follow the bhakti path of Mahaprabhu. So if you come to my house, let us speak about Krishna. I will tell you all about Krishna. And can the result is she probably will not come anymore. And then you have escaped.
Maharaj, can I tell her that my guru says not to speak about anything other than Krishna? Can I tell her that?
Yes, you can tell her. Would that make you happy? That is the beginning of your liberation. But why should we waste precious time for nothing? By sitting there, give her a microphone, I'm still answering her question. By sitting and listening to her Mayavad and mundane talk, are you in some way or other facilitating her to come higher on the level of bhakti? Are you doing anything for her benefit?
I pray for her, Maharaj.
You can pray from her from a different floor. You don't have to hear those things. But if you're hearing, are you actually doing anything for her benefit by listening to this? And is it to your benefit to hear this?
No, Maharaj.
You're simply wasting time and your bhakti is just being polluted by this sound vibration. So why? What is the need? Sometimes with relatives, yes, we have to some formalities and exchanges. Prabhupada did that too. How are you? How is your wife? Like that. Those are, but to sit and listen to prajalpa, especially from Mayavadis, there's no purpose, there's no use. What is the use of trying to be respectful and polite in such a circumstance? Just be honest. You can, with folded palms, say, my Guru Maharaj has ordered me to only hear and talk about Krishna. So please, unless we're going to hear and talk about Krishna, then here's some prasad. You can return to your place. Don't let people impose their maya upon you. Is that possible, Vrishabhanu Prabhu? Huh? Your husband will now speak.
Maharaj, if she listens to this advice, I think her life will be successful.
Your Prabhu has spoken. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.